Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this evening's teleseminar called How to Unlock Your Potential. My name is Damien Sen, and it's a great pleasure to have you on the call this evening. In a few moments from now, I'll be introducing our very special guest, Michael Bradford. But before I do, please allow me to share how this call will work this evening, particularly if this is your first time on a People You Should Meet call. Now, we're going to be on the call for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour, I'll be asking Michael a whole series of questions on our topic. Some of those questions will be my own, but the vast majority of questions will have actually been submitted in through the website by you, our listeners, prior to the call. Now, for those of you who are regular listeners of People You Should Meet, you will know that I actually did a recording last year, or an interview last year, with Michael. And we had such a phenomenal response from people on the call and also from people who've listened back to the recording that I knew for sure that I actually had to get Michael back on to the program as soon as I could. Now, Michael Bradford is an internationally recognized intuitive healer, author, speaker, and coach. And I think he's traveled to some 40-plus countries around the world over the past 20 or 30 years, sharing his incredible gifts and really helping people access more of their true human potential. So it's a topic that very much gets me inspired and excited, and I know it does Michael as well. So it's a great pleasure to welcome to the call our very special guest and my dear friend, Michael Bradford. Hey there, Michael.
Hi. How you doing, Damien? It's always good to be working with you and talking with you, and I'm really glad to be on your program. Thank you.
Welcome. Now, Michael, I'm just going to start with a concept that most, a lot of people actually bandy it around about how few of us actually sort of realize our true potential here on Earth. And I was just wondering if you could actually share from your experience working in over 40 countries around the world, and just wondering if you could actually share why is it that you think that most people get stuck along the way?
Well, Damien, we are humans, and as humans, we play this game with ourselves of limitation. And the whole purpose of our Earth journey is to master those limitations. These limitations are our own creations, and we've established them to prove that we can conquer them, conquer and learn. So most of the people, it's very interesting because I've worked with, I would say, 20,000 people so far. It is 45 countries, and I've been to every state in the United States. And most people are only about or up to 30% present in their physical body because of traumas, because of other experiences, setbacks. We have a tendency to literally split off energetically, block ourselves, and protect ourselves. And the only reason we do that is because we're sensitive human beings. Back to you, Damon.
Yeah, that's amazing. Most people are only 30% in their physical bodies. I was just wondering.
Or less.
There's
only three people I've met in the last 10, 15 years that have been more than 30% present. So 30% is on the high side. And we don't realize it, but if we're not physically present, if our energy is blocked or we've been traumatized, then we're not fully present, we're not fully communicating, we're not fully using our skills. We believe we're safer, however, we're not. And the example that I like to use is a tree. If a tree has very, very shallow roots and the wind comes, it gets blown over. But if a tree has very deep roots, it can grow stronger and taller up to the light, and I'll use the term God, universal energy, whatever you'd like, the tree is totally different. In fact, for people who grow trees, one of the tricks that they use is they make the temperature hot and then cold and hot and cold, fluctuating it back and forth, and they also have fans that blow on the trees, and those trees are a lot stronger than any of the other trees. And in reality, what I experience is we as humans test ourselves, create different challenges for ourselves to help us to become stronger as individuals.
And is like with babies, when they actually come into the world, are they fully present in their bodies, or are they just not present at all, and then over time we get to come in and occupy this physical shell that we inhabit?
Well, you asked that question so perfectly. I believe from the time of conception, we start reacting. In other words, if we're conceived and loved and our parents really wanted us, then it's a lot safer for us. If there's trauma involving our conception, we start moving away and picking up other energies from birth. In the womb itself, if our mother is feeling safe, if everything is, there's a lot of food around and there's safety and nurturing for our mother, and she's nurturing with us and feels good about the pregnancy, we feel safer. If our mothers have been traumatized or in a war zone or in any other, an accident or any kind of trauma, we can literally pick up, I'll call it a negative imprint, in the womb itself. And if that is not addressed, it can affect us our entire lives. Most of the people that I'm working with, Damien, what I'm doing is literally tracking their energy to find out where the energy is blocked. And once that shifts, then everything in their life shifts. And that's the whole premise. I don't even send healing energy to anyone anymore. I used to. I've got one book that was in 12 languages, another in 5, and these were all about sending healing energy. But I've advanced to another level where I'm just talking to a person, seeing where the blockages are. I can see it, feel it, and sense it. And all I do is talk to them about where the blockages are, and then it shifts automatically on its own. Once it goes from the unconscious to the conscious mind, then we start processing it.
Mm. And a lot of people say that we actually choose our parents. Is it also true we choose parents that may be in difficult circumstances so we can actually work through our karma in this incarnation?
I agree with that. And again, you brought up the subject of karma. Let me say this, that what I've learned, most people say, oh, it's going to take me centuries or years or whatever, lifetimes to work through karma. I've experienced karma being transmuted in seconds.
Wow.
Now, in fact, when I've talked to pretty advanced people, they start laughing. They say, Michael, do you know what you're doing? And I said, what do you see that I'm doing? And they said, Michael, all you're doing is helping people to renegotiate their karmic contracts. Meaning is, karma is just a learning process. That's all it is. We're balancing an injustice or a learning that we didn't get right. So what I'm doing is in looking at where the energy is blocked or what are the decisions that a person made about life and living, we're literally shifting and transmuting the karma. Some people call it burning away. In fact, when I work with people, there's times I'll see a flash of light over their shoulders or above their heads, and other people that I work with have seen clouds of smoke or puffs of smoke coming off of people, which is the karma, the negative energy being lifting off, the energy blockage burning away, and the karma being transmuted. And it's interesting because I just got back from Kuwait, where I was welcomed wholeheartedly, and the sponsor that brought me down was just one of the most fantastic healers that I've ever met. And I was very amazed at how much I've learned about the Muslim faith and their teachings. And they have some very advanced teachings, which I'm learning from. And the focus there is on God more than on angels or anything else. Their focus is always stay with God. And I know that. And there are times when I approach it with other, calling in and working with other energies, and I've moved to another level now.
Mm-hmm. Now, Michael, you mentioned that you see it, you feel it, you sense it, and I know for lots of healers, they may actually just rely on one modality, whether it's sound or sight or that real kinesthetic feel, but like you actually work with all of the different sensory elements. Just wondering how you actually combined the use and how you've actually gone about cultivating those gifts as well.
Well, here's the I've been trained in hypnosis back in 1973, NLP since 1983. I've got all kinds of certificates in many, many different modalities of healing and have worked with many, many different healers all over the world. And what's happened is I've transcended, gone beyond everything that pretty much that I was taught. And for me, most of my work is on the telephone. And I do private sessions in person. However, what's happened is just by mentioning a person's name, I can see how many blockages they have, and I can also see where they are in the body. I can see the incident that created the blockage and the decision that the person made. And the level that I work at is it's not about what the trauma was or what the incident was. Where I'm going into and focusing on is what is the decision that the person made about life and living? I'm not safe. I'm not enough. I don't deserve money. I don't deserve happiness. It'll never work. And once that decision is reversed, then the body heals itself. And in some extreme situations that I've worked with, I have seen what I would call miraculous healings with people with cancer. I just had a phone session this morning where I was working with someone from Norway who has something called ALS. I don't even know what it is. Some kind of a disease that the doctors diagnosed and said she had 10 years maximum to live. And I was on the phone with her for, I would say, within the first 10 minutes, talking to her about what was going on. And literally, she was seeing white light. Her body became very, very hot. And she said, I haven't felt like this. And everything just shifted for her within the first 15 minutes. And this is the type of work that I love to do, where a person really, really wants the healing, wants the change in their life. And for me, that's the gift. When someone really wants it and has the courage to move forward, it's pretty easy. The other thing for me is my work is very, very different. A lot of people do not have the extensive background or the ability to do what I'm going to mention. I do not work through the layers of the onion. I am not interested in all the different layers because all the different layers are just a replay of the same theme. What I'm looking at is what is the center core issue? What is the one single issue that when that changes, everything else shifts? And I'll explain it. If you've got a limb that's on a tree and it needs to be cut down and it goes far, far out, if you start on the far end and you start cutting it, you're going to have to cut it many times before the whole thing drops off. Where if you cut it as close to the trunk as you can, the whole limb is going to drop off. Most people will work through the layers, and for me, all I care about is the one core issue. Many years ago, I ran a healing group out of my house when I lived in Portland, Oregon. I'm in London now. And the people would, the other healers in the room, and one was a medical doctor, etc., they would all take a look at the person intuitively and spiritually, and they'd all see the same thing, and I would see something totally different. And I always thought that I was nuts. But after they worked for an hour, then they'd finally get down to the level that I saw instantly. And my focus is just, what is the core issue? What is the single core issue that when that core issue shifts, the person shifts and is able to achieve better relationships, better financial freedom, better success in their business, and everything just shifts when the one core issue shifts.
Mm. Absolutely. Now, Michael, we've been friends for quite a while now, but I've only just personally had the opportunity to see you work live in front of an audience only last week or a couple of weeks ago. And, like, I was actually spellbound by how quickly that you were able to get to the root cause of people's core concerns. And like, I've worked with lots of different coaches from all around the world at all different levels, and I've never seen anyone work that quick. And it was just breathtaking. Like, it's one thing to actually be able to work with someone privately, but to actually stand in front of an audience and actually work with people in the way that you do is really quite phenomenal.
Well, my work is very special to me and the people I work with. I don't work with hundreds or thousands of people in the audience. My choice is to work with, in a workshop situation, a maximum of 24 people. In this way, I can give people highly personalized attention and work with them. And I'll be doing another workshop on July 11th and 12th. And when I work with individuals, again, I make time to spend with a person. In other words, I take an hour to work with people. I could probably do it in a lot less time. However, I want to address all their concerns and make sure that not only is the energy clear, but the person has a better understanding and a complete understanding as much as possible into what created it, what were the misperceptions, what was the reasons that they created, how the energy got blocked, and more important, how they can keep the energy clear and move forward to be the best person they can in life.
Mm. So can you just elaborate a bit more on that, Michael? How does someone, like, once the energy field is clear, how do they go about actually keeping the energy field clear?
Well, that's a great question. I'll start with languaging. Some people have very negative languaging. Oh, I can't do it. It'll never work. And they're very hesitant, even using the word work. If I muscle test it, and what's interesting here is I'm going to use some terminology that many people may know, but the terminology that I'm using is very different. In other words, if I do kinesiology, which is muscle testing with people, I get a totally different set of results than the average person that does muscle testing, because I'm approaching it from a different energy frequency with a different intention. So if I muscle tested a person the way I work with the word work, their muscles, their arm will become weak and they will not be able to stand up. If I talk about the word challenge or opportunity, a person's energy will strengthen because we love a challenge, we love an opportunity. So every word we think, every word we say, every word we hear will either strengthen or weaken our energy field. So one of the things I look at is, and listen to with an individual, is what is their languaging pattern? What is their thinking pattern? How do they perceive life? Is life danger or is it an excitement? Is life a adventure to be lived fully, or has the person been afraid? Now, here's the other situation. I'm going to shift this a little bit, Damien. Most of the challenges people have aren't their challenges. They've picked up the energy of their mother, their father, or another, or something else, or just an energy attachment. In scanning their energy, I'm showing them how to clear it off themselves. One of the things I do in my workshop is a fire walk. Now, I've had the regional manager for Anthony Robbins, the former regional manager for Anthony Robbins, at my workshop, and I don't do a fire walk on actual hot coals. I'll just mark out some spaces on the carpet, some lines. But the this person mentioned, he said, Michael, walking the fire walk with you, I could not play any games. I could not bypass the energy because you were catching whether people had a pattern of collapsing in the beginning, collapsing in the middle, or working very hard and then collapsing just before they crossed the finish line of the firewalk. So what happens is I'm watching what the patterns are, giving the person the feedback, and helping them to understand where their weak points are or where they have to pay attention in order to keep themselves strong and clear.
Mm.
I hope that explained it.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned something very, very interesting there, Michael. How most people, the actual challenges that they're working through aren't actually their own challenges. Now, that's got to come as quite refreshing for lots of people sitting at home, actually feeling disconnected from the challenges that they're facing. Maybe those challenges aren't really what they need to work through in this lifetime.
Well, you know, we do come through our parents, and we are influenced. We are influenced by our parents, their energy, our ancestral energy. We're influenced by our culture. We're influenced by the religion we're brought up in. We're influenced by the educational system. It's really interesting because in a country like Kuwait, for many of the people, hugging or even touching someone of the opposite sex is not permitted, where in other cultures, everyone just runs up to each other and throws their arms around each other. So the cultural background, the way that people are raised and what they can say to their parents, how much freedom they have, their interaction patterns is very, very different and very, very interesting to watch. I'm going to take some liberty here, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
When I was in Greece and did a lot of work in Greece, the Greek men, most of their challenge was about their heart. With women, it was about their communication, their second chakra, which is the power center, and communication as far as the throat. Other cultures will have different configurations for what the core issue is.
Mm.
I will say this another way. People who are going through human issues, working through human issues, their blockage will be behind their heart and their grounding cord, issues of betrayal. For a lot of people that have spiritual issues that they're clearing, it'll be the crown chakra and the third eye that'll be blocked.
Great. So is it just easy enough if someone's experiencing a particular challenge just to move countries? Would that actually help in loosening up the core challenge? Or is it necessary?
It could.
Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. Because there's different ways that each culture interacts. And the other thing is some people do very good energetically in a warm climate. For me, I love sunshine and the ocean to go snorkeling in. And London, right now we're going through a heck of a heat wave, as you know.
Mm.
However, London is cold and wet and damp, and the ocean here isn't made for much swimming in that. It's not warm enough. So just by moving to a country like Greece or Hawaii would bring about a shift. Also, being around greenery, being around trees and nature is very good for a lot of people.
Mm. That is one thing that I absolutely love about the UK. There's lots of beautiful greenery. Now, Michael, you've had some phenomenal results with people over the years. And I was just wondering, are there any particular clients or cases that really stand out as being very, very special to you, even though I know they're all very special to you, but are there any standouts that you'd like to share with people?
Sure. There were about three people who had cancer and worked with them on the telephone. One was actually with a translator and was able to pick up, these were women. One woman actually had, she was in her 60s, and she actually lost a child and also had an abortion, which no one had known about. And on the telephone, going through a translator, I had picked that up energetically, talked to her, and the fact that she had lost more than one child, and even losing one child is bad enough, this woman judged herself and didn't want to live. worked with her, that entire process took about 12 minutes.
Wow.
Spent the rest of the time, of course, debriefing and talking and explaining it in more detail about the shift and how to keep her clear. Another woman had hepatitis C. She was from the Netherlands, and she had, I think it was 1.8 million virus count, did a session. She went back to the hospital. She had 300,000 virus count, so it dropped by one-sixth. And the hospital said they've never in the history of the hospital, and this is what they specialized in, ever saw that type of results. I've also worked with business people where they'll call me up on the telephone and ask me, should I buy this property or not? And I can tell them probably within a minute to 5 minutes from that point whether or not it looks good, the energy of it looks positive or negative. So I've also worked with one of the richest people on the planet who hired me. The man owned 36 corporations and had a low success rate as far as hiring the presidents. And I sat in his office for 6 days, never met the people, never saw the resumes, never knew their names, and was having intelligent conversations with him about which ones would work out the best and for what reasons. I could go on and on, Damien. The relationships, people who were fighting in relationships or having conflict, working with them to help understand what the real issue was. Because most people are not dealing with the issue that's the core issue. They're dealing with the surface issue. Mm-hmm. I would say, and I deeply respect therapists and counselors. I deeply respect them. However, most of the people that I've met in counseling and therapy, I would say 90% of them at least were working on the wrong issue. It wasn't the issue that had the greatest charge. Mm-hmm. Energetically that I could see, they were working on an issue that was very different. So one of the extreme situations, there was a woman in Jerusalem who was pregnant. I think she was 7 months pregnant, and the baby stopped taking nutrients. And they were going to do a C-section, deliver the baby early. And she called a friend of hers in Paris, who called another friend of hers in London. At that time, I was living in Bristol, and said, Michael, can you help? And I said, sure. Gave her the information. She called the person in Paris. The one in Paris called the one in Jerusalem, explained what I'd saw, what I'd seen. And what I saw was that they had another child, a boy who was, I don't know, around seven-ish. And the boy was a bully and a tyrant. And it was a little girl in the womb. And the little girl got scared. She didn't know if she wanted to come out or not. Right. Gave that information, they talked to the boy, all of a sudden, and this was only one session that I did with the person, they talked to the boy, the energy shifted, and the child started taking nutrients again, and the feedback I got that when the child was, the little girl was born, the little boy quietly walked in to the room where the mother was in the bed with the baby, the newborn, ignored everyone, didn't try to dominate for attention or anything else, walked over, very gently kissed his sister on the forehead, and everyone in the room was shocked because this kid always threw temper tantrums, controlled everything, and dominated everything. And that is one of the stories that I love. I can go on and on about working with business people and whatnot, but I work, it's all the same. It's all energy, Damien. It's all energy. And if you can read the energy, all the information is there. I predicted the housing market crash a year in advance, saw the energy on that, and saw the shift in the energy, felt the shift in the energy. Wasn't sure what I was seeing or feeling. However, warned the person that I was helping that there's been a shift in the energy, and they had 1 year to get out of the market. Mm. And the person didn't, and now they're hurting.
Mm. Wow. Well, as I mentioned earlier on, Michael, we had lots of questions that actually came in from all around the world, and I was just wondering if I could ask you I'll start asking some now.
Go for it, Damien.
Great. Now, I've got a question from, I think it's Liga in the United Kingdom. And Liga asks, one of my biggest problems is that I'm afraid to take action. I know what I need to do. My to-do list is a mile long, but I just can't do it. I feel like crying when I think of doing it. I have millions of great ideas, but just can't take the first steps.
Okay. First of all, Liga has two blockages in her energy field that are stopping her. She's got the talents and abilities. And the truth is, all of us are scared. And the person that doesn't have some fear is very, very rare. And excuse me, the person probably also is a fool. So everyone has some kind of fear, doubt. And the whole point is to start moving. Once the energy is moving, the momentum is built up, the universe will come and support you. If the person has personal internal blockages, then what's happening is the person is literally fighting themselves. We all have fear within us. I know when I go to stretch beyond where I've been to move the boundaries out, I can feel the fear and anxiety. People who buy a new car, especially if it's their first car, they buy their first house, there's always anxiety. When they go to do their second or third, they've got some more experience. The anxiety is there usually because it's the person's on new ground and they do not have the confidence or the history, and the only way to get it is to start moving. And if they have a mentor, and I also offer mentorship programs and that, to help them, then they can get the support step by step along the way. It's important to have support. It's important to be around other people that have the experience and have been there before, because it cuts down the learning cycle.
That's a great answer. Now, this one comes from Kazim in the UK as well. And Kazim asks, how do you eliminate the limiting beliefs that hold us back?
Well, first of all, identifying them is a good first start. And one of the ways to identify them is just pay attention to what shows up in your life. So in other words, if you have a pattern that keeps repeating itself, you go a little bit deeper and say, what attitude, belief, or fear do I have to create this? And you also may want to take another step, is where did I get that attitude or belief from? Is it my mother's? Is it my father's? Is it mine? And I would say a lot of times you'll find out that you've inherited it somewhere along the line from someone else, or you had an experience very early in childhood where you picked up that kind of experience.
Great. Cool. This one's from Mike in the U.S. And Mike asks, I keep finding myself afraid of directing others. For example, I had taken a position as a manager once before and found that I was just terrified to tell a person that they had to do something. It affects me because I become very passive in situations where I may need to stand up. I repeatedly fall passive and almost feel like running away. It seems like I'm scared or inexperienced at situations when I'm called to be a leader. And I then see that that belief becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. How can I make this better?
Well, first of all, I want to really honor Mike, because if Mike didn't care, he wouldn't be concerned. There's a lot of people that will take power or are hungry for power, and they have no concept of how to use power properly, nor are they sensitive to the ramifications of using power or leading people. It sounds like Mike is a very sensitive individual, and that sensitivity is key, because that will be the root and the foundation for sensitive co-creative decision-making and fair decision-making. Here's the challenge. Whenever we do something new, we never do it perfectly. I mean, if you're learning to ride a bicycle, you're going to fall off, you're going to skin your knees, you may get hurt. But everything is a learning process. And the only way to learn how to swim is to get into the water. The only way to learn how to ride a bicycle is to get on the bicycle. I wound up head of a company, taking over as head of a small company. It was only like 8-9 people when it started, and it grew to 100 people. I had no clue, this is going back in the 1970s, I had no clue how to manage at that point or how to delegate. I should say I did know how to manage. I did not know how to delegate. And it really, really challenged me to move from 8-9 people where I knew everybody directly and I could talk to everybody directly to where I had over 100 people in the company and I had to delegate and work through other managers. So what Mike is going through is a natural process, and the most important thing is to understand that this is a learning process. Again, for someone like Mike to find a coach or a mentor, this is something I could do, or that he could find someone locally to work with him to help polish his skills, build his confidence. But it sounds like anyone with that kind of sensitivity is good material, has a good foundation to build upon.
I don't know through the work that I do, Michael, that it seems as if people are getting, who are on the spiritual path, by actually going and really connecting with who they are, they naturally become more open and more sensitive. And is that true for when you work with people as well?
Yeah, the people are getting more sensitive. Here's the challenge. People on the spiritual path, people that are conscious, they want to get it right. They want to, you know, there's perfectionism, there's a lot of other things here, and the focus is on not making a mistake. But not making a mistake is the mistake. We learn from our mistakes. We learn more from our mistakes than from our successes. And life is a journey, not a destination. I've had to learn that. And all my life, I was focused on getting it right, doing it 100% or better, and really being hard on myself. The truth is, the spiritual person who, or the aware person who really cares about what they're doing, they might be so concerned about getting it right that they don't allow themselves the freedom to really take action. And what happens is people who are not sensitive, people who take power, people who do not care that much, they're taking the power because it's there. But the truth is, we as spiritual beings, we as sensitive, caring beings, when we take a leadership position or we share our truth or we bring our services to the world, we're serving in a very, very big way.
Amazing. Now, Michael, just to let you know, we've got streams of questions actually pouring in live as well as you speak there. I think there's a lot of what you're sharing is really resonating at a very deep level with people. Great. Okay, this one is actually linked back in. You mentioned earlier on about business decisions and being able to guide people through that business decision-making process. And this one actually comes from Robin in New Zealand. And Robin asks, should I buy the Gisborne property?
Okay. Here's the situation with any business decision. Number one, you have to check it out financially and check the property. Does it make sense number-wise and everything else? I actually believe from looking at the energy that would be a good purchase. I don't think it would be a good purchase necessarily short term, but for longer term, about 3 years, it should be good. And again, this is one of the services I offer to people is helping them within their business for decisions or buying property or doing other things is to help them to make that type of decision. But the energy right now and looking at the energy based upon where the market is and everything, I would say it'll take about 3 years to really that property will be a good investment.
Great. Excellent.
And again, excuse me, Damien, for jumping in, always negotiate for the best price you possibly can and the best terms and condition and go for the best interest rate, et cetera. Okay, go ahead, Damien.
Great.
Sorry about that.
Now, this one comes from Peter. It's another wealth-related question, and Peter's in the United Kingdom. And Peter asks, if part of becoming wealthy involves starting your own business, being entrepreneurial and positive-minded and feeding your mind with wealth principles, then why have I and so many others not been able to achieve anything close to financial independence? I know many people, including myself, who are intelligent go-getters and have started businesses but are still broke.
Well, how does he know he's broke? And I know one of the ways is to look at the bank account. When I stepped onto the spiritual path, I gave up being president of a corporation, and I took a heck of a financial cut. And on that level, yes, it's been very different. However, because I left the corporate world at that time to start my spiritual journey, I've had the experience of doing all kinds of things, like going to 45 countries, every state in the United States, that I never would have done. My bank account, spiritually, my bank account, personal growth-wise, and probably, be honest with you, Damien, I probably would have been dead by now had it not been for me walking away from the corporate world and starting my own journey. Part of it is understanding what is it. You know, a lot of people are saying, you know, go to be a millionaire. But being a millionaire is not the end game. It's what a lot of people are saying. The process of learning visualization, the process of learning to be successful, the process of getting out there and pushing the boundaries, interacting. The biggest thing that I see is that we have to come together in teams. I'm good at doing the healing work. That's my passion. However, when I have a good organizer, a good coordinator that's doing the paperwork for me, although I know how to do it, and I taught it, and I was, I'm pretty much an expert in that area too, for me to do that anymore is there's no energy on it. I've moved beyond that. So when we can find a support team or a group of people where each of us can do what we do best and focus on our skills, then it's great. There's another part to answering this. When we're in a corporate world, when we're in a business environment, we have discipline and expectations. You show up at 8:30, you do this much work, you get out at this time. When I was in the corporate world, I was working 6 days a week, probably at least 12 hours a day, nonstop. And I had a lot of expectations. I had a lot of demands on me. So what happened was I performed at a certain level. We have to manage ourselves. We have to keep ourselves focused and keep ourselves motivated. Again, and I hope Peter doesn't mind this, Peter's got 1, 2, 3, 4 personal issues that are affecting him that are undermining his ability to be successful. It only takes one blockage to do that. Now, I'm not going to get into detail on what it is, but I can literally read Peter's energy now, even though I don't know his last name, where he lives, or any information. I would love to document more what the changes and the potential for change is in working with people. And does Peter have all the ability? Absolutely. And we all have what's right for us this lifetime. And if we are in any way undermining or blocking that, we're not going to perform at any level that's close to our ability. Right now, Peter, and I'm getting Peter is a good person, Peter's operating at 10% of his potential.
Cool. So that's helpful for Peter. Okay, this now we had lots of questions actually come in around the divine nature and soul's purpose. I'm just going to sort of amalgamate them all together from Josiane in France, Cassandra in the United Kingdom. We've also got Julia in Bucharest in Romania. That's Josiane and Anne in France. So I'm just going to group them all together, Michael, and ask, how may I unlock my divine potential, identify my soul's purpose, and overcome my energetic blocks?
Well, one of the ways is to have a session with a person like myself that can help you to identify and clear those blockages. I absolutely agree that we are here for a mission, for a purpose, and for some people, that can be a very broad category, such as learn about music, such as master energy healing, such as be involved in marketing and helping people to get their information out to the world. Everyone has a very different, unique purpose and reason for coming in. To identify that, most of us take it for granted. In other words, healing comes so natural to me. People be having a conversation and they'll turn and ask me a question, and the answer will instantly be there. But because it's so natural for me, I thought everybody could do it. And that's not true. Many people on earth have a special talent and gift, but because it comes so natural, because they've had it, because they don't have to work hard for it, they don't realize how special that gift is. So helping a person, this is another thing that I do, is help a person because I can see where the energy is supporting them. There's certain areas where I listen to people and they say, oh, this is my dream. And I sit there and I shake my head and go, yeah, maybe your dream, but there's no energy. Your soul is not supporting you. Just imagine what it would be like if a person was aligned with what they really came here to do and learn. Their energy was clear. They didn't have any issues of power, prosperity, or self-love. And they could just absolutely generate that, that forward movement. It would be phenomenal. It is phenomenal. And this is the point where miracles just happen. And for me, the word miracle is just something you didn't expect that's way beyond the magnitude of what you believe is possible. I'll give you an example. I went out to eat with a friend last night, and we're walking. We decided where we wanted to go to eat, went out to eat, and on the way passed a store that sold Buddhas and a lot of things from the Orient. It was a beautiful store. Wound up going into the store, and there was something special about the man that owned the store. Then I find out after about 15, 20 minutes of conversation that he is very spiritual, has diabetes, he's having a lot of health issues. And I just looked at him and I said, no problem. I said, I get it that we can help you clear it. And he looked at me and all of a sudden he had chills all over his body. I had chills all over mine. And we're going to get together and I'm going to be able to help him. And he's going to help me with some other situations. And those coincidences quote unquote, happen all the time when we are in the flow, and we haven't talked about intuition, but I also teach intuition training. And when our intuition is there, when the energy is clear, it just happens. We'll just walk in and be attracted to someone, start up a conversation, or the person that we need will be right there, and we'll meet them one way or another. And it's just right there. It's not about effort. It's not about how hard you work. It's not even about how much money you invest in things. It's about you, excuse the expression, you. It's about a person being in perfect flow and in alignment with the energy. And it's easy. Excuse me, I'm gonna do something and be a little playful here. I bought something at the store I love.
That was easy.
That's an easy button from Staples, by the way. I'll give them a plug.
Brilliant. Now, Michael, I'm actually going to do something that I've never actually done on People You Should Meet before, and then I'm going to just ask you for 10 extra minutes this evening, because we've just had a stream of questions actually come in through the website. I was just wondering if that was okay.
I'm perfect with that.
Great.
And Damien, I love to help people. I love to see people break free. I love to see people achieve their full potential. And if you wanted 30 minutes or even another hour, I'd more than happy to give it to you and
Great.
To the listeners.
Awesome. Well, I've got one that I want to ask from Phil, and then I'm going to actually move to some of the questions that are actually coming through the site. So this question is from Phil in Sweden, and Phil asks, how much of a role does fate or destiny play in what we are capable of achieving in this lifetime? Nowadays, it seems that there are more ways than ever of unlocking, unblocking, and awakening ourselves. How can we discern which of these are for us?
Great question. I will say this to Phil. Phil, the most powerful person in this universe, and I will say God, Spirit, the Universal Intelligence, however, the most powerful person on this planet or in this universe is you. And we create our own fate. We create our own destiny. If this is my belief and this is my experience, when we love ourselves, when we honor ourselves, when we respect ourselves, when we're willing to receive as well as give freely, and we're in the flow, it is a natural process for us to create positive experiences. And when we have negative thoughts, then what happens is we create the negativity. I do not believe that there's anything out there other than our own consciousness. Now, I want to bring up a point here, if I may, Damien. If you're looking at what's on the surface, the conscious mind, if you take a look at something like a iceberg, you look at an iceberg, you see an iceberg. But what you're really seeing is 10% of the iceberg. When we're looking at the conscious mind, what's happening is we're looking at 10% of reality. We're looking at 10% of what we have stored in our belief systems and our memory. And we may work very, very diligently at clearing out our conscious thoughts. However, unless you can track energy, and I'm talking about a person like myself, unless you can track into the unconscious mind, which is 90%, the issues that are blocking us might be lurking in the unconscious, creating havoc, short-circuiting, undermining us, but we will never be aware of it unless we watch the patterns in our life and focus it on that level. When I look at a person's energy field, I'm looking at the conscious mind. However, what I'm really looking for is the unconscious. If you take a look at a weed and you cut it off at the top, it will not destroy. You cut it off at the middle. You cut it off at the level of the earth. You even cut it off into the root system. It will not destroy that root or the weed unless you get the taproot. The taproot, I would say in excess of 90% of the time, is in the unconscious mind. And if you cannot track the energy, it's very, very challenging to identify that. Because I can track the energy, because I can see the energy patterns and sense them, I go directly to the underlying cause. And I didn't clarify this before, but Damien, most of the people that I work with, even on very challenging issues, a lot of them I'll work with only one time. Now, I do work with other people longer term in a mentorship program and in the workshops. I really love to help the people. However, this is not a process that takes people 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years. It's a much faster process because I'm not working through the normal layers of communication. I can see instantly into what the core issue is. So for Phil, I would say this. Phil, I would say there's two things blocking Phil, if that's his direct question. However, I believe we create our own reality, our own success, and our own limitations.
Excellent. Thanks for that question, Phil. Now, I'm actually going to take a question from the live forum, and this one actually comes from Louise in Kent. And Louise asks, where does chronic fatigue syndrome come from, and what can I do about it?
Okay. I'm going to explain this in terms of a car battery. If we have a short circuit in our car battery, then it's going to be very, very hard to keep that battery charged up. Whenever we've had a trauma or a setback in life, we can pick up negative energies. We can get the belief system that it'll never work. We could pick up things from our mother, our father, abuse. There's many, many different areas, and I'm not going to specifically mention with this individual what it's about. I do a lot of work with ME, and what I find is that normally 6 months to 2 years, and this is true with all illness, sometimes as far out as 5 years or more, there has been an emotional setback or a trauma. There's a person I heard about, the person I told you that I met yesterday who had some health issues with diabetes, they had a car accident 5 years before the diabetes and everything set in. In that car accident, they were traumatized, their back broken in a number of places, and there were five negative energies that were able to enter this person's or attach to this person's energy field. Now, there are blockages that come from within us, but then we can also pick up energy blockages from outside. And let me explain this a little bit differently. I believe people are either Velcro or Teflon. If you're Velcro, everything just slides off of you. Nothing sticks. If you're Velcro, what happens is we've got an internal issue or a negative belief system about ourselves where something that is external can attach to us. In other words, if anyone that I've worked with that has an addiction challenge, normally there will be a core issue within that person that allows the negative energy to attach to them. The people who are sensitive, people whose parents did not build up the person's self-image and self-esteem, will many times pick up these negative energies, or they'll be blocked because they've picked up the energies from their parents. Do you have any other questions about that, Damien? Did I answer that one?
Yeah, I think that's great. I'm just going to ask you one more question, Michael. And actually, lots of different people have asked about the whole area of relationships, and particularly in terms of attracting like that soul partner or mate, and actually clearing energetic blocks that may be preventing that from happening, but also relationships generally with people who are in relationship already, and how to actually make sure that those relationships are working more cohesively. So just wondering if you could just touch on both of those areas for us.
Absolutely. First of all, what we have to do is learn to love, honor, and respect ourselves first. Okay? If we're looking for anyone to come and validate us, in fact, I just wrote an article called The Victim, Rescuer, Persecutor Triangle, and it's what I'm talking about is how we get caught up in dysfunctional communication patterns and interaction patterns. We need to take responsibility for ourselves first. We need to make sure that our energy is clear. We need to make sure that we're living our life the way we want to live our life, that we're living our dream, or as close to it as you can possibly get, and at that point, we'll attract the proper partner. Normally, the power struggles and the issues in a relationship are not what the people are arguing about. There's other things going on, or they're projecting their mother, their father, or other issues in the relationship. Again, this is something that I do a lot of, is working with couples or working with individuals to get clear. We are all searching for the balance. We all have a masculine and a feminine energy within ourselves. If that the more balanced that masculine and feminine energy is, the more honoring we are of the masculine energy within ourselves, the feminine energy within ourselves, the more healthy that energy is, the easier we will be able to attract someone else who's healthy and someone else that is honoring and respectful of both their masculine and feminine energy. It's a dance. And this is one of the greatest challenges, is the polarity of masculine and feminine.
Absolutely. Well, Michael, it's always a pleasure to have you on People You Should Meet. And like, I've personally taken away so much this evening, and based on all the questions that have flooded in as well, I'm sure that people at home have had an amazing last past hour as well. And one of the questions that actually popped up through the questions that were sent in was, how do I book a session with Michael, and is he running any workshops? So I was just wondering if you could share how people can get in contact with you and stay in touch, and also how they can actually seek out your work further and experience one of your one-on-one sessions or indeed your workshops.
Okay, the one-on-one sessions can be booked through me. I will give you my email, which is michael@theintuitiveadvantage.com, and that's my email. And my mobile number in the UK is +44 7762 615 029. And I am doing a workshop on the weekend of July 11th and 12th. And I also do mentor. It's here in London, in central London. And I also do long-term programs for mentorship. I love working with entrepreneurs to assist them long-term to keep their business on track and to develop very, very successful. The price of the workshop is £395. It's only 24 people maximum. And I work with people numerous times over the weekend. It's all personal, experiential. And the private sessions are £175. And I use either PayPal or can put the money directly into my account on that. Like I mentioned, I can work as easily on the telephone as I can in person. So working with someone on the other part of the globe is easy. I actually have mentorship programs. I'm working with people in Australia, New Zealand, the UK, and other countries. A lot of the countries I can actually call for free, so there's no additional phone call costs on top of it. And for those people that are attending the workshop and those people having a private session, I'm willing to give a free book, a free CD, and a free DVD worth about £30 as a free bonus, just to honor the people, Damien, that you're communicating with. And I really want to honor you, Damien, for the work that you're doing, who you are as a person, and for the number of people you're helping and assisting around the world. Good job.
Thanks, Michael. It really is a very deep passion of mine, and also a deep pleasure to be of service in this way. And it is just an incredible forum that can just bring people together, hearts and minds, wherever they are in the world, to realize more of who they are and what they're here to do in the world. So,
well, the first call we did together, we didn't know each other personally, and we had never met personally. At least I didn't remember that. And we had a really, really great call, and everybody was raving about it. And then when we finally met, it's like a homecoming. And this is what it's meant to be, Damien. It's not meant to be struggle. It's not meant to be hard. It's meant to be joyful. It's meant to be a celebration. Mm. And when our energy gets clear, we get a chance to do that. And that's where I love to play. So, again, God bless you, and God bless everybody on the audience. And I hope you got good value out of the call. And if I can help you or someone that you care about, please call me. And regardless, I just wish you the very best that life has to offer. And may your journey be a gentle one and a positive one. Thank you.
Excellent, Michael. I just wanted to take this opportunity to actually acknowledge you for the tremendous journey that you've been on, and actually having walked away from that corporate path. I'm so glad you did, and I'm sure so many people around
Damien,
the world are glad that you did.
Damien, it was the scariest thing I ever did, and there's many times I scratched my head and said, did I do the right thing? And after helping one person or seeing someone break free, I know I did the right thing. And it takes courage. It takes tremendous courage to be true to yourself, to oneself. Mm. And I just ask this courage for everyone in the listening audience and for you too, Damien. Thank you again.
Thanks, Michael. And thank you very much, everyone at home. Your active participation week to week is really inspiring for me, and it's great to receive your questions and also your feedback while on the call as well. And also, if you do get an opportunity to share your comments and feedback in the recordings page when this is made available tomorrow for free on the peopleyoushouldmeet.com website. Now, if you actually think that this recording could really be of service to a friend or a loved one, or indeed a colleague, please do take the initiative to share it. The whole People You Should Meet platform is a free platform and is there to be of service to humanity. So by actually taking that step forward and actually sharing this material with other people, you really could change someone's life for the better. So I encourage you all to do that. Okay, Michael, so I've just got one final question. I was just wondering if you wanted to leave people with a thought for unlocking their potential.
Where you are is perfect, and your next step is perfect, and that help and support is always around you, and the statements of knock and the door shall open, ask and you shall receive, is there. We've taught a lot of spiritual laws, and a lot of information is out there. And integrating it, understanding it, sometimes takes a little different shift in awareness. And if I could be of service, please give me a call. And again, just thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this.
Cool. Thank you, everyone.
Recording this call.
Thank you, Michael. Have a good evening, everyone.
Thank you.